Last year in October, Sue and I went to visit the Imperial War Museum, where to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the ending of the First World War, they had a special exhibition and a number of installations. One installation was of a sound bar onto which you were invited to place your elbows with your hands over your ears and to close your eyes, and what you heard and felt was the relentless sound of bombs exploding and the earth shaking. Some of the exploding bombs were in the distance and others suddenly very close up. It was a reminder of how terrifying it must have been for those soldiers in the trenches on the battlefields, not knowing where the next bomb would land. After a minute or so, the sound of the bombing slowly faded and there was silence. I must say I felt real relief it was over, just as those who survived the war must have felt when the guns fell silent. From the soundbar, we went into another space which was dimly lit, where we visitors were invited to stop and listen to the recordings of those who survived and had experienced the First World War, their stories and recollections, both moving and emotional. And so on this Remembrance Sunday, at the 11th hour of the 11th month, we've held again our act of remembrance. This year we have again been fortunate with the weather, but had it been bitterly cold and windy with torrential rain, we'd have still held our act of remembrance, for however bad the weather might be we endure would be as nothing as to what those soldiers on the battlefield faced in the First and Second World War. I watched this last week again, the coloured black and white film archive of the First World War put together by Peter Jackson, entitled They Shall Not Grow Old. It's not an easy viewing, as you see the terrible conditions the soldiers faced and the injuries, death and carnage inflicted. No wonder many of those who experienced what they did during the war didn't want to talk about it, but we are grateful to those who did, lest we forget. For all these years, the people of Dedham, along with communities up and down our country, have stopped and remembered those of our armed forces who died in two world wars and, of course, more recent conflicts. We sometimes hear quoted the tens of thousands who died in the First and Second World War, and it's hard to comprehend the scale of loss. But they are not just numbers, but as Brebs reminded us, were people with names, husbands, sons, brothers, boyfriends, and here also in Dedham, a civilian, wife and mother and her child. People who walked on our high street, drank in our pubs, were baptised, married and worshipped here in this church. We will remember them, we affirmed, and we have. And the soldier silhouettes in our pews this morning fire our imagination that they are not forgotten. For your tomorrow, we gave our today. Many of us here this morning will be too young to have experienced war ourselves, but we may have family and friends we know or knew who fought for our country. We do, though, all know about the cost of war in lost lives and the injuries suffered both in the past and today by those who served in our armed forces to keep us safe and to help others enjoy the same freedom and democracy which is ours, but we perhaps too often take for granted. The freedom and peace we enjoy today was won at great cost. We owe debt of gratitude to our Army, Navy, Air Force and Security Services, but there are others which I was reminded of watching the moving play, which I'm sure many of you this morning will have seen, put on by the Dedham Players, entitled Pressure, written by David Haig, about the background to the date of the D-Day landings relating to the weather, and of those who give advice and those who have the responsibility of sending our armed forces to war. You felt the tension and weight of responsibility on those people. It is right we remember. And when we look in the Bible, we see the importance of remembering. God's people, the Israelites, looked back and remembered with thankfulness how God delivered them from oppression and slavery in Egypt. And Jesus gave his followers a meal, what we call Holy Communion or the Eucharist, that with bread and wine we could remember his life, suffering and death for us. To help us remember, we buy and wear our poppies, and the money raised is used by the Royal British Legion to help members of the armed forces and their dependents. There are two other charities like Help the Heroes and Combat Stress, which our collection later will go to. It's focused to care for veterans with mental health issues, for many have seen and witnessed horrific and terrible things. At the heart of our act of remembrance this morning was a 2-minute silence. But in our noisy world, we're not always comfortable with silence. What do you do with it? Who or what do you remember? I wonder who or what were in your thoughts during the silence this morning. I remembered one of the voices I heard at the Imperial War Museum last year. It was a lady who told how she'd heard the announcement that the war was over and of her joy and excitement that her husband would be coming home, only the next morning to receive news he'd been killed in action. I remember standing in a Commonwealth War Grave Cemetery in France with row upon row of headstones, each remembering a soldier who died in battle, very many only in their teens. I remember visiting Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial in Israel, and being in the Hall of Remembrance, where engraved in the stone floor are all the names of the concentration camps, and in the centre, black smoke rises to the roof, an evocative and powerful symbol. So many men, women and children died for no other reason they were Jewish or were different, and our armed forces with others fought for their liberation. I remember the sacrifice and suffering of those in our armed forces who fought for our freedom, the freedom that we can meet like this, can choose to take to our streets and peacefully protest and have freedom of speech. But freedom, I'm reminded, brings responsibility, and we should be rightly concerned at death threats and intimidation levelled at our MPs. The silence is for us to remember and be thankful for the courage and bravery and sacrifice of so many, and to long for peace. But in our remembering, we do not glamorise war, for we know only too well, from the past and the present, the human cost on all sides. On our dead and war memorial are inscribed the names of those who from this village died in the First and Second World Wars. And if you look right to the top of the memorial, on one side is the Virgin Mary with child, on the other the figure of Christ with arms outstretched. Mary, who knew the pain, grief and sorrow of losing a son, and Jesus with his arms outstretched, reminding us he both laid down his life on the cross that we might know peace with God, but too outstretched in welcome, for he is the one who said, as we heard in the reading from John's Gospel, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." I still remember at the end of the Falklands War, seeing an army chaplain address his soldiers. He'd experienced what they'd experienced on the battlefield, and he asked them, "What were your thoughts as you were about to go into battle and thought you may die?" And he suggested it was probably their loved ones, their family and friends, and too in their fear and all the uncertainty of God, wanting his help, protection and peace. "Remember that," the chaplain said, "when life goes back to normal." Family and friends we know are so important, but we too are invited into a relationship with Jesus, who offers us forgiveness and peace, and calls his followers friends. Those soldiers before the chaplain, like those who fought in the First and Second World Wars and subsequent conflicts, know something about friendship and trust, for they have looked out for each other, and as well as being tough, can also be tender and kind, as expressed in the picture in your service sheet. There is humanity at its best. I wonder what that picture conveys to you. I believe Jesus longs we rest in him in the same way and allow him to put his strong arms of love and support around us in our need. We remember the past today and the sacrifice of so many with gratitude, but with a longing and hope that things should be better in the future. We heard these words from the prophet Isaiah. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. What a vision of hope and peace, where what was used to fight and cause death and injury can become implements to bless and provide. And to pray for a world where there is peace and where those who were enemies can be friends. This is necessary in the world stage. But on a day like today is also a challenge to our personal relationships, for things said and done in families and with friends, neighbours and at work can make for broken relationships. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It's an active thing and needs someone to make the first move. Let me encourage you, if you are in a conflict situation and there's been some sort of fallout, for this to be the nudge, not to let it go on, but take the risk to seek peace and be reconciled. We pray for a world where reconciliation replaces retaliation, where instead of weapons of destruction, resources are used to provide food, to build homes, schools and hospitals. As today we remember and thank God for the sacrifice of so many, may we work and pray for a world where there is peace and justice for all people.